When we worked on the exercise for the studies this week, I felt, and then when I shared it with my brothers here, they confirmed that the subject we're about to take up today and tomorrow is both needed and vital and important, yet at the same time we all are very aware of the sensitivity and the sensibility that and the vulnerability that we all have in trying to bring these matters to our fore consciousness, to the forefront of our consciousness, so that we examine ourselves as men and as women as whether or not we have been influenced in the world as to God's definition and God's plan for what it is when he calls us to be men and when he has created us to be women. So today, with the Lord's help, we want to look at this matter of, and we're going to speak plainly to young men. So, all you sisters, I know you're going to sit there taking feverish notes, but that's good, because there's some value to be learned in understanding God's mind about that, so that if you don't feel and you don't have the gift of singleness, and you are looking to the Lord for that right man, that you might have at least an outline of God's thoughts about what a man ought to be. And that's really the thrust that we want to talk about the biblical definition of manhood, and then we want to apply it in two specific areas that, at least I felt, there is some very great need. One is in the assembly, and we'll see how that relates. And the other one, which is probably even more of a concern, it's in how we handle relationships. So with that as the backdrop, just one other point. It's easier to do this session because it's one man to other men. And in Proverbs it tells us iron sharpens iron. And so a man strengthens the countenance of his friend. And that's really what we're here to do. We're not here to preach at you, to tell you what. We just want to bring the scriptures to light so that we might realize that the world exerts an influence on us and exerts a definition on us, exerts a way to approach things. And if we're not careful, we just get caught up in it, and we want to be aware of it. So to start out, and it's quite interesting how the book of Genesis sort of answers a lot of these questions. They are the beginnings, the beginning of everything. So if we turn in our Bibles to Genesis, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 7, verse 15, and verse 16. So if we can get a volunteer to read those three verses.
And the Lord God formed man, dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to till it and guard it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat.
Okay. Thank you. In these three verses, we're going to get at least two of the definitions that I think underline and underscore God's definition of biblical manhood. First one is, well, obviously, we're created by God. And so in being created by God, he not only creates us, but he gives us the direction for our lives and the way that we ought to go. So the first, if we look at the text, God made man in verse 7, and in verse 15, he gave him responsibility. So a biblical man, takes responsibility. He is aware that, and as we've been sharing this week, on Sunday we talked about the influence of the world. On Tuesday we talked about the matter of being called to serve. And that is a demonstration of responsibility. When a man takes up, he understands what the Word of God says, and he takes up the responsibilities that God calls him to. In our world, in our society, in our culture, what has happened is men have abdicated responsibility. And so what happens is everything else comes in and disrupts the divine order. And so what we're looking at is when God made man, the first thing he did, he gave him some responsibilities. Take care of the garden, dress it, and keep it. So I want to ponder that. What have we been sharing on yesterday, on Tuesday, was we are all called to serve. And so do I take up those responsibilities or do I avoid them? Take no responsibility, whether either for myself or for some activity in service to Allah. So we're going to pause for a moment and let that one simmer and settle, and then we'll move on to the next point. Anybody who wants to add to that point, this is the moment.
Sorry, one quick point. In the young people study, we've mentioned Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, I think, the purpose. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we mentioned this yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. May have been. But just to tie that into, when we fulfill responsibility, it's giving pleasure to God.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Okay, good.
And I also note that in the beginning, responsibility was not at all a difficult thing. Mm. All he had to do was till the garden and keep it. You know, God hasn't created responsibility as a curse. Mm.
Very good point. And I remember the first time I discovered that. Because we often used to hear that it's, you know, by the sweat of your face, you know, you'll till the ground in order to gain fruit after the fall. And they always tied work and responsibility to a post-fall condition, only to realize that the work was assigned prior to the fall. And so this matter of responsibility is something God has given, and we want to be just very cognizant of that. When I fail in my responsibility, and it's particularly to men, we are abdicating what God has laid out for us.